Y'all ready for today? Amen. You know, I don't like the devil. I don't. I really don't. I don't. You shouldn't like him either. That's not something you should feel sorry about. I don't like the enemy. I don't like what he does to people. I don't like how he oppresses people. I don't like the tricks that he plays and how he deceives people. I don't like the enemy when he comes to steal, kill, destroy. I don't like him. I hate him. We got to stop putting up with it. You have that authority. Stop putting up with it. In your life, stop putting up with it. You don't have to. Huh? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have you had any breakthrough in your case yet? A little bit? For me or for God? For me? I don't know if I can handle it. I know God can. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're on part 5 of Unashamed. God loves you and he wants his best for you. I don't know why people get upset. They get Joel Osteen, God wants you to live your best life. Well, God does want you to live your best life. Why wouldn't he? If he didn't want you to live your best life, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. We just could have would have been pedaling through life and just barely making it on getting on by a street. That's not what he came to do. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. It doesn't matter whatever addiction you may have, no matter what problem you may have in your life, God came to save you and deliver you from that. But I don't think God wants you to have your best life. People are focused way too much on their suffering, on the trials, on the tribulations than anything else rather than on Jesus. If anything, those things should point you right back to your Heavenly Father and your Savior. God wants you to suffer. You're not suffering for God if that's what's going on in your life. You're just being a fool for the devil. And we don't want to be a fool for the devil. God wants you to live your best life. He wants you to have your best life. Jesus even prayed, let your will be done on earth as it is in where? Heaven. Where is there so much destruction and chaos going on in heaven? There is none. You're not on Skid Row in heaven. There's no Skid Rows. There's no ghetto in heaven. You don't have to wonder like Tupac did. There's no ghetto there. There are streets paved with gold. There's no sickness. There's no disease. They are bowing down and worshiping, laying aside their crowns and bowing down to the Heavenly Father and worshiping, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Let your will be done. And Jesus even gives us the keys to the kingdom. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So if anything, the body of Christ is responsible for this and the destruction that's going on because we allow the enemy to play just a little bit too long. He does not have a right in your life. He does not have a right or authority over your life unless you're giving it to him. And if you give it to him, guess what? Take it back. Evict him in the name of Jesus. Because if he'll be a squatter if you let him. He will be a squatter if you let him. Jesus is the only one who was able to deliver us from eternal damnation. Mankind was doomed or was born through the word that was given to Mary, and she became pregnant by the word of the Lord, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh, and he dwelt among his people. God doesn't want to see you destroyed, busted up, and disgusted. And that's the thing. God doesn't want the enemy in this world to overcome his children, his adopted sons and daughters. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 16, 18. I'll give you something here. It says, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church. You're the church. You're the body. The gates of hell can't stop you. I'm saying that again. The gates of hell cannot stop you at all. That should give you some encouragement for the day, for the week, for the year, for the rest of your life, every single day. Gates of hell will not be able to stop me. Satan, you can't stop what God wants to do through my life. You can't. You can't stop what Satan, the enemy cannot stop what he wants to do here for us in our individual lives and even us corporately and in the city and for this state and for this nation. He can't stop us. That's why he'll do everything he can in order to try to divide us. We are one body, but there are many parts. Remember that. But we still make up that same body. Religion will have you so focused on hardships and suffering and disappointments and your failures. I see why people are constantly sick. They're constantly depressed, oppressed, stressed out to the max because they got you focused on the wrong thing. If you fix your focus on Jesus, I'm going to let you know those problems are just going to be like, it's not even that big a deal. What was I worried about? What was I so focused? What was I so disturbed about? Your focus is on Jesus. It's not that big of a deal. Anything else doesn't matter. I'm really uncomfortable standing right up here. I want to be down there. He died for you so that you wouldn't have that kind of life. You wouldn't live that kind of life. They were living that kind of life before Jesus came. They would have to wait for a whole year for an angel to come and stir up the pool of Siloam so that someone may go in there and be healed. They don't have to wait anymore. You don't have to wait anymore because it's already been done 2,000 years ago. If I hear it one more again, somebody said, God put the sickness. I can't stand that because that's not a loving father. You wouldn't even do that to your own children. In the Bible, and Jesus says, ain't nobody good but God. You wouldn't even do that to your own kids if you had the power to do it. Our Heavenly Father doesn't do that. He took away your sins, your sicknesses, your diseases, so that you wouldn't have to carry them. But religion will tell you something different. Religion tells you that God destroys. Religion will tell you that God is responsible for everything. Religion tell you that God puts sickness on you, but that's not God. That's not the Bible. That's not what he says. That's not what Jesus came to do. I've come to give you life and to give it to you how? More abundantly. Jesus came to do that. In John 16:33, it says this, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace, and in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus is talking to his disciples that in Jesus, in him, you will have peace. In him, you will have peace. Peace doesn't come because you're out there fishing and doing your little hobbies here and there. Peace doesn't come because you spent time in church. Peace in him, you will have peace. Peace doesn't come because you're avoiding situations. Peace comes from surrendering to Jesus, keeping your mind and heart fixed on him and what he has done for you. The whole world could be on fire and your attitude and mind are fixed on Jesus. Floods are happening here and everywhere that's going on in this nation, but your mind is focused and fixed on Jesus. You're still praying for those. In this world, he already said it, you're going to have tribulations. Problems will come. Who's never been without a problem? We've all been there. I've had problems here and there. But he says, not to fear. Be of good courage. Get your focus on me. Get your focus on Jesus. It's not that big of a deal. Because guess what? It's not going to take you out. It can't unless you let it. That problem will not be able to take you out. It can't. As Jesus is, so are we. What was able to take Jesus out without his consent? The Bible says he became obedient. Our sins killed Jesus, nailed him to the cross. No. Scripture says he became obedient to death. Nothing was able to take Jesus out. You become obedient to whatever you want to come obedient to be obedient to. You could be obedient to sickness and it'll have his way in your life, or you can come against it. You could be obedient to poverty and destruction and just living a poor, impoverished life and be like, God has come to give me a poverty life. No, I'd rather live the blessed life. I lived that poverty life before. It was just a po life, P-O. That sucked. But it kept me focused on Jesus till I heard the good news being preached. The gospel is preached to the poor. Blind eyes are open, the lame walk, the mute talk, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. This day, let this be the last day you wrestle with your problems that you got going on. Give it to God. Give it to God and just allow him. Just, Lord, I'm just choosing to focus on you. I'm not even going to focus on this problem right here. It's out of my mind. I'm giving it to you. And get so fixated on him and getting into his presence, it's not even going to. What problem? It's not that you're avoiding it. It's just that you're putting God, you're giving him precedence in your life. You're putting him first. And he's the center focus of your life. You think he's worried about what you did yesterday and the day before and the week before? No, he's concerned with what you're doing right now, where your faith is. Faith is now. Is your faith in God or is your faith in your ability to be able to do whatever it is you want to do in your own strength? Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be our prayer too. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will, not my will, let your will be done in my life. I want what you have for me. You know, it says, and I don't have that scripture for you, so don't worry about it. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added to you. You don't have to go and get it. It's going to be added to you when you put him first. Seek his kingdom first. That's not hard to do. God gives us some great examples in his word to where we can go and do that. And then guess what? He is faithful to watch over his word. What he sees you do in secret, he's going to reward you openly. We always put that to the negative. No, put it to the positive. It's good to have positive thinking, but it's a whole lot better to speak positivity through your mouth. But this is going on in my life. Doesn't matter. There's not a problem that God has not solved in your life that he hasn't seen, that the blood of Jesus doesn't take care of. So why are you worried? Receive his grace. I don't have any money. Got a peppermint though. But how many are going to take what God has and receive and believe it and receive it by faith that what God has given you? Sometimes we don't, Lord, I don't deserve it. No, you don't. But he made you deserving of it. He did it for you, even though you didn't ask. While you were yet still a sinner, Jesus died for you. And that's for everyone. His grace, his mercy. Receive it. Stop beating yourself up over it. Somebody ask you about your past, say, hey, I don't live there anymore. I moved. It's like somebody trying to rob your house where you just lived. You used to live there 15 years ago. You don't live there anymore. You can rob it all you want. You want to drag around a dead corpse? You go right ahead. But you're alive in Christ. You're a new creature. The enemy just constantly wants to remind us who we are. You remind him of who he is, how dumb he was to rebel against God, how he is right now under your feet in his eternal damnation. He's going to spend an eternity in a lake of fire. Miserable. You remind him of his past, present, and future. You used to run all of this. You don't anymore. Jesus took back the keys. He took back authority. And guess what? He gave it to me. Now you're under my feet. And all you over there trying to do is tickle my feet. Nah. You're under my feet, Satan. You're under my feet. Problems, you're under my feet. Death, you're under my feet. You're a footstool. Hallelujah. Don't just speak it. Command it and believe it. Take authority over it. We keep talking about what we see. That's not how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to call those things that be not as though they were. And we keep saying what we're seeing. That's why we're having what we're saying. Whether you like that or not, you're still saying what you're seeing. Speak what you want to see and live that out and walk it out every single day. And remind God. Remind yourself and remind the enemy. Remind the people around you. And if you, I don't believe in that stuff, you're going to have to. Why? Because I'm going to have what I say. Everybody say, I will have what I say when I open my mouth and believe with my heart. So start speaking out what you want to see according to the word of God, not according to your flesh, but according to the word of God and what he's provided for you. And walk in that authority. You don't get to have, and here's the thing, you don't necessarily need to be covetous of anyone else. You have your own. God has given you, there's enough for you. So you don't have to say, well, they have this gift, I want that gift. No, no, no. God can give that to you. The Holy Spirit will give you as he wills. But everyone here has a gift. Just ask the Lord. If you don't know it, just ask the Lord to reveal it to you. What is it? And how can I help impact other people's lives with it? Because I guarantee you that gift isn't for you. It's to help other people. Whether if it's just being encouraging, having a word of knowledge, use it. There's some people who are down and out there in the world. Help them. Speak life into them. Lord, who do you want me to bless today? Who do you want me to pray over today? Who do you want me to speak to today? Do it. Some people have a gift of healing. Lord, who do you want to be healed today? Some people have a gift of administration. You have so many gifts out there that belongs to you. It's to help other people. It's not to sit on your hands. Because you're the church, you're the body. Hallelujah. That wasn't even in my notes. Now I got to open up again. Come on. Luke 4, 18. So you have to quit allowing the largest and smallest problems get to you. You know they're going to come up every single day. There's going to be a problem every single day. Expect it, but here's the thing. It has no right over you. Don't fear that. Any opportunity of a problem that will come, it will arise, it will. Any opportunity that a problem will arise, it will. But you don't have to let those problems get to you. There was anybody ever seen that movie with Jesse Owens? It was called Race. It's on Netflix. But there was a part where Jesse Owens, this guy who's playing Jesse Owens, But this is during the time of Hitler and all that stuff when he went and raced in the Olympics. People know that part. There was a time in the movie where Jesse was kind of training and stuff. He was out there on a track. Then some of the football players was kind of heckling him. Then after it was all said and done, then they go into the locker room and the coach is talking to him and stuff. And then the football players, they come in with the coach and, "Hey, coach," talking to the track coach, "we need this locker room." He goes, "Well, just a minute, just hold on." And he starts talking to the coach, starts talking to Jesse. He goes, "Jesse, what was your problem out there? You know, it doesn't matter if these knuckleheads or something or what have you is talking to you. You got to stay focused. You can't get distracted." And then, of course, the football players get offended and stuff like that. So they're just yelling and stuff and going off on the coach. And he says, "Hey, listen to me." And so it just kind of shows it like him blocking out all the distractions. Keep your focus. Listen to me. No matter what's going on in life, listen to the voice of God. You're going to have all these distractions in your life, but you need to stay focused on me. As soon as you get your focus off, it's going to get you to a place to where you don't need to be. No matter what's coming against you, you got to focus on the promises of God and how he wants to fulfill it in your life. Too many times we get distracted. We get down and out. We get discouraged. We get depressed. We're almost at a place to where we're overcome with evil. Why? Because our mind is fixated on something else. We get distracted. And God is saying, if you just focus on me, if you just focus on the Holy Spirit, he's your comforter. He's your advocate. He's your counselor. He'll counsel you through those things if you ask. You can't get distracted. Luke 4:18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. All the distractions that was coming against Jesus and how they wanted to come against them, Jesus just walked right through them. If you can just imagine everyone here, mob coming at him, Jesus just walked right through. Sometimes we want to fight with this individual, we want to fight with that individual. I said, sometimes I get caught up in doing that. Just walk right through. Why? They didn't touch him. Your problems are not that big enough to where it can get you to the place to where you just, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil." It won't touch you. Shadows are not scary. Shadows can't hurt you. I mean, if you're to the point to where you're scared of your own shadow, there's a problem. We used to have this young guy years ago. There was an African kid that we had on the flag football team, and he didn't really speak good English. But my cousin, I said, and he was quick too, you know, they run marathons and stuff, and they always winning. for the most part. But here's the thing. This kid was quick. And then my cousin just basically says, hey, you see your shadow? Try to outrun your shadow. So he'll be like, just run. I'll just take off. But the shadow of death can't touch you at all. Yet we fear. And there's a do not fear at least 300 times in the Bible. So apparently there's an opportunity for us to fear. But here's the thing. Fear is just false evidence appearing real. It's not even real. It's a shadow. And sometimes we can get scared of doing the right thing because we know the end result is, well, I don't want to be with this person here. I don't want to do that there because, Lord, I don't want them to have it. And God is saying, you need to do it. And then there's times where God is saying, don't do it. It's scary. It's a scary thing to be able to get there and then sow your seed when you may not even have any money. I've done that before. Till I understood about giving. And I knew it every single time. I was getting paid $485 a week, every 2 weeks, working hard with four kids. $48.50 every 2 weeks is how we started. And then there was a time when I was doing a barbecue and I had a $5,000 week. Whoo, boy, I was happy to write that check. Why? Because I was faithful in the little things. It's scary at first. But once you understand his word, you understand the Father's heart, you know it's okay thing. God's got you. He's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He's not trying to hurt you in anything. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants you fully surrendered to him so he can give you what he truly wants to give you. Because once you mature in these things, you know, I got hit by a car when I was 3 years old. And my dad, Sue, it was got hit by a cop. Policeman, I ran out and I got paid. That shows you how tough I am. I can withstand a car hitting me at 3. It was in Summit, Mississippi. I said, but here's the thing. I wasn't able to get that money until I matured, until I turned 18. And there's a maturity, I said, and things that have been laid aside for us by the Father, but we can't get it unless we are mature enough to receive it. And sometimes we may not be mature enough to receive what God has given us. So we got to grow up. The enemy will want to keep you fighting and arguing and bickering all the time so that you won't receive what God fully has for you. But it's yours. It's available to you. You have to trust him. And part of trusting it is surrendering to him. And if we can't surrender to him, there's truly no authority that we can operate in. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? If we're not submitted to Christ, it's not going to matter going out and trying to heal people, share the gospel, because we're not living it out ourselves. You have to get yourself surrendered to God. Because what he has for you and what he wants to do through you is far more greater than what you can ever think about doing for other people. Surrender to his will. Say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life. Live that day to day. Not my will, but your will. Not anyone else's will. Don't allow anyone else to put their will on you. Because that's not God's will for your life. His will, his ways, his word, his authority. Amen. Hallelujah. Went a totally different route. Thank you, Jesus. Get your mind fixed on him. In these last days, the body of Christ got to step up. Peter got up and preached and prophesied, basically, and God will pour out his spirit on some flesh. All flesh? Are you sure? So that's everyone in here? Are we supposed to be sitting on our hands when he does that? No. When he pours out his spirit on all flesh, and he's pouring out his spirit, it's to do something with it. So how he wants you acting and moving, go, be led. All of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Stop putting up with it in your life. You don't have to, just because society tells you. You don't have to, even because religion may tell you. I'm so tired of that. God has come to give you a blessed life. And even if you were to just operate and live the life of Jesus, that was still a blessed life. Stick with your authority. I already told you, right? There you go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone here who's never given their life to Jesus, and you want to do that today, you've never made him your Lord and Savior. And if he were to come back today, you don't know if you would ever spend eternity with him. And you want to do that today, raise your hand and we'll pray with you. We'll lead you. Thank God. Hallelujah. There's anyone here who want to see the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you've never done that? Raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if you want to get water baptized and you've never had, please let me know. Or let one of the leaders know. And we'll get you baptized. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your healing was done 2,000 years ago. Your deliverance was done 2,000 years ago. And Satan does not have a right into anyone's life unless they give him that right, Lord. So give them the boldness to kick him out of their lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We remove that stuff from their life right now. The thought life, that pattern, the addictions, the turmoil, the constant nagging, the nuisance of the enemy in their thoughts and their life, Lord. We cast those strongholds down right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you for that blessed life. We thank you for deliverance. Hallelujah. We thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you. God is touching somebody's right now, lowers back pain. Lord, we thank you for healing that. Hallelujah. We thank you for better eyesight, Lord. Cataracts being healed in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Take your authority. The answer is already there for you. You just have to speak it out and walk in it. The two, not just you, both of you. You take authority over it. Well, before you leave, give somebody a hug, a handshake, a high five. Amen. Father, we thank you for these people here. We thank you for your children. We thank you, Lord, that you are watching over them every day of the week. And we thank you for the boldness that they can go out and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you that they are continually being a blessing to those, not a nuisance, a blessing. That they don't become a thorn in somebody else's side, but they become the healing, anointing power that can chase that thorn away when they yield to your strength, Lord. We thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.